Welcome back through the Word to Zephaniah chapter 2. Zephaniah's catastrophic cosmic language, warning of final judgment, is a wake-up call to Josiah and the nation of the soon coming dramatic collapse of their world. Zephaniah's fiery sermon, warning the nation that in the fire of the Lord's jealousy, the whole world will be consumed, has left the teenage Josiah floored. Just what do you do with a message like this? Have you been there, suddenly confronted with a brutal reality? You know, when that sense of foreboding all of a sudden punches you in the gut and you realize that the road you're on will kill you. I remember standing beside the Upper Niagara River with my 12-year-old daughter. The sheer force and intensity of its driving current made us mute. Then we saw the sign, announcing the point of no return. Mere seconds from there to the top of the falls, then the drop. A friend of mine shared his story of a near-death experience, drugs. When it happened, he was scared sober. He realized that he had to get out and fast before he hit the point of no return, before his life was swept over the edge. This is what repentance means, to turn around. And we see in Scripture that it's a gift from God. Why? Because the immense powers sweeping us along pull us almost beyond our ability to resist. It's not simply that your life flashes before your eyes. It's the weight of it all. All of it. Suddenly landing on you. And it compels you to act. But Zephaniah's message isn't just about individual salvation. It's the urgent call to a nation speeding to destruction. The young Josiah's sense of responsibility for the nation must have felt overwhelming. What was he to do when he got up from the floor? As if in answer to the humbled king's silent cry, Zephaniah earnestly calls the nation to repentance. Verse 1. Gather together, gather yourselves together, you shameful nation, before the decree takes effect, and that day passes like wind-blown chaff before the Lord's fierce anger comes upon you, before the day of the Lord's wrath comes upon you. Can you hear the repetition? Twice Zephaniah tells the people of Judah, calling them a shameful nation, to gather themselves together. Three times he stresses urgently to do this before the day of no return. And what is Josiah and those who hear the warning supposed to do? Look at verse 3. Seek the Lord, all you humble of the land. You who do what he commands, seek righteousness, seek humility. Perhaps you'll be sheltered on the day of the Lord's anger. Notice that Zephaniah stresses all the humble of the land. Who are they? They are the ones, like Josiah, who know their need for the Lord, who know that his covenant with Israel and his commands to them aren't legalism, but a gift of life. Zephaniah calls them the ones who do what the Lord commands. Isn't that strange? The humble of the land already do what the Lord commands. But they are the ones Zephaniah says must urgently seek righteousness and seek humility. What does this all mean? The implications are enormous. Zephaniah is calling them, the faithful who are already doing all they can to obey the Lord in the midst of their culture adrift, he's calling them to, well, to step up their game. He wants them to understand just precisely what's at stake. This means that the faithful housewife, the farmer, the shepherd, the father and mother, the teenager, the grocery store clerk, whoever they are and wherever they're found, they must bring together the strength of their obedient lives. And together they must humbly seek righteousness for the nation, so that God's purposes for Israel, and through Israel for the nations, will not fail. I find Zephaniah's message extremely challenging. Individual faithfulness is not enough. No. The task at hand requires all the faithful to lean into the Lord, both in prayer and in vital, visible action. He wants them to be a part of a movement of repentance, to show their generation, the one that grew up under Manasseh and has never really known what covenant faithfulness looks like, to hear and obey the Lord. And did you notice the perhaps? Perhaps you will be sheltered on the day of the Lord's anger. The faithful are to throw in their whole lot with the Lord, with his mercy and his power to redeem. What the wicked have unleashed on Judah and the whole region is virtually unstoppable. But even if Judah itself cannot be delivered, the Lord himself will do all he can to shield the faithful when that devastating day comes. Wow, this is amazing. This means the faithful are being called to lay down their lives in their generation for the sake of God's future for his people and his world. And this isn't the first or the last time God asks this of his people. In fact, the number of martyrs in the 20th century topped the number of those who died for their faith than all the other centuries combined. So what about our cultural moment? How has the Lord called you to live for the sake of others, investing in their future, even sometimes at the deep cost of your own? Zephaniah's message is really intense. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for Zephaniah to lighten up. I could use a little less World War Z and a little more Mars attacks. Come on, Zephaniah, give us some good news. But Zephaniah is relentless. Like a circling vulture, he gives us a bird's eye view of the devastation coming on their world. Look at verses 4 to 7. Gaza will be abandoned. Ashkelon left in ruins. Ashdod will be emptied. Ekron uprooted. These are all the leading cities of Philistia, Israel's enemy to the west. He says of these cities and the people living in them, I will destroy you and none will be left. That land will belong to the remnant of the people of Judah. The Lord their God will care for them. He will restore their fortunes. Wait, what was that? A remnant? The Lord restoring their fortunes? Just for a moment, Zephaniah sees a brief glimmer of hope amidst all the devastation. But then it's gone again. In verses 8 to 11, Moab and Ammon, Israel's enemies to the east, will become like Sodom, the Ammonites like Gomorrah. But wait, there it is again in verse 9. The remnant of my people will plunder them. The survivors of my nation will inherit their land. We'll take it. It's just a little light, but we'll hold on to it. Zephaniah's uncertain perhaps just may be beginning to give way to will. God will care for them. The survivors of my nation will inherit their land. And again in verse 11, the Lord will be awesome to them when he destroys all the gods of the earth. Distant nations will bow down to him, all of them in their own lands. Can you feel Josiah beginning to take heart? Somehow through this devastation, God will judge the idols of the earth. And even distant nations will worship him. Now that's a reason to stand, even in the darkest of times. But all too soon, it's gone again. From the west to the east, now the vulture circles south to Cush, slaying peoples who until recently had ruled over Egypt. Then swoops up north to Assyria, saying in verses 13 to 15 that he will leave Nineveh utterly desolate and dry as the desert. And what will be left of the Assyrian Empire that stretched from the Nile northeast to the Caucasus Mountains? Zephaniah tells us in verse 15, this is the city of revelry that lived in safety. She said to herself, I am the one and there is none besides me. Nineveh's pride reached the heavens, claiming herself divine. But what a ruin she has become, a lair for wild beasts. All who pass her by scoff and shake their fists. And so chapter 2 closes. Zephaniah has covered the nations to Judah's north, south, east, and west. For the past 300 years, the Assyrian Empire has dominated this global landscape. But now, truly, the day of the Lord will be for all these nations, the end of their world. It's like Zephaniah has just read the sign beside the upper Niagara River. He's announcing seconds left in the life of the nation, watching as it hurtles along towards its point of no return, where it will be swept over the edge towards certain death. So let's double back to Josiah and our front row seat. Josiah is getting up off his face, strengthened by God in hope. It's no longer just perhaps. Perhaps you will be sheltered in that day. Somehow, just somehow, there will be a way through the storm to take hold of the promises of God on the other side. How will Judah respond? Will Josiah rally the faithful to do all they can to lead Judah in repentance? Read chapter 2 and join me next time to find out.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.